If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
We've got to get
the Attorney General to act. He's got to act, and he's got to act fast. He's got to appoint somebody. This is major corruption, and this has to be known about before the election. And by the way, we're doing very well. We're going to win the election.
Well, that's probably the crappiest audio we could have come in with. We got there's all kinds of stuff going on. There is all kinds of stuff happening. Well, if you get the newsletter, you'll see some of it. It was, and I have 2 other newsletters ready to go for you. I actually went over the limit that I had in terms of word count to send out it all in one thing. So welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Where do we start? Because all hell began breaking loose. When did the Rudy thing? Let me start there. Because
I did a show yesterday.
But was it third hour or was it our second hour?
Third hour.
So I'm going to go in chronological order because there's so much, and this is the only way that we're going to be able to keep track of all of it. So yesterday while we were on air, and have you noticed it's gone now? Sorry, sidebar. It's gone. Have you seen the story anywhere?
No, it's gone.
No, I mean, no one's talking about it.
Well, yeah, it's definitely suppressed.
So yesterday, not that they suppressed it, they just stopped talking about it because it was so ridiculous.
Wow.
So yesterday while we were on air, this story with Rudy Giuliani broke, right? And it was the Guardian. I'm looking at my notes here. It was the Guardian who had it first, and they said, "Oh, it was this Borat thing," and because we have like even more on the Hunter Biden stuff, emails and all kinds of stuff. I'm setting this up because the overarching theme today is I'm done with the media. I have been going at them for over 10 years. They have smeared me. They have crucified me. They have, and not just me, tons of other people. I'm done. This is it. So it started with this story when we were on air, right towards the end of everything, the end of the day, our broadcast day anyway, and came out by The Guardian, and it was this piece that showed Rudy Giuliani was taken by this Borat thing, this Sacha Baron Cohen for his Borat, his next movie. And Rudy Giuliani had talked about already how he came into contact with Sacha Baron Cohen and then he called the cops on it and all this stuff. But what they tried to do was act like him getting mic'd was him sexually harassing this 24-year-old reporter who they didn't even tell later on. They didn't even say until later that she was pretending to be 15. And he was just getting mic'd. I wrote it in the newsletter. You need to go and read the whole thing because I get into how you are mic'd. This was such a stupid story that even people at Mother Jones, who are Marxists, didn't even believe the way that this was being presented. You had brain dead writers at Vanity Fair saying, well, Giuliani puts his hand on his pants to touch himself. That's what he did. This is what they wrote and published this stuff. This story went all over social media. There was no warning on the story. You didn't have to quote tweet it to retweet it. There was no, well, this content may not be accurate. There was none of that. None of that was on here. They just shared it far and wide. And I had said, I go, well, folks, let this be a lesson to you. Don't touch it or whip it out unless you're on a Zoom call.
At work,
yeah. Because the way that it was treated, the way so many reporters shared this, and then it gets crazier. Now, here's the next development in it. Some college activist faked a text from Rudy Giuliani about the whole issue. And then everyone from Steve Herman at an ABC affiliate to Matt Bevin, who is an ABC show, he's a show host, Politico, Rachel Maddow. Oh, I got receipts. I have all of the receipts. I will eat your soul with receipts. All of these people, name a network, NBC, ABC, CBS, newspaper reporters, all of these people ran with it. Oh, here are the texts about it from Rudy Giuliani. All of these reporters bit on all of the bit on this whole fake text thing. All of these blue checks fell for the same damn thing that they incorrectly said that Giuliani fell for. They wailed about disinformation for over a week, and yet they zealously engaged in it themselves. So Giuliani responded. He said, this is a complete fabrication. I was tucking in my shirt after taking off recording equipment, and that's what I said. And he said that there was never anything ever appropriate. And of course, if there had been, they would have released a video, people. They would not have released just stills. Good heavens. So that's the first thing that happened. Then, because they were trying to discredit Giuliani in the Hunter Biden thing, they needed a way to discredit Giuliani. So if you can't take down the story, take down the messenger, because this is how they act. So then, later on, we have the FBI that gives a press conference. And the FBI gives a press conference and they say that Russia and Iran have been trying to affect the election, and they were sending fake emails saying that they were the Proud Boys threatening people who didn't vote Trump. Yahoo News ran with this. USA Today ran with this. Shall I go through all the networks? Because I have the blue check rundown of every single one of these rat bastards that ran through this. And I'm saying that word, that phrase, because I referred to partisans in the press as such years ago, and they all lost their minds at me over it and went at me when it was an entirely appropriate and generous description. All of these blue checks, all of them, Young Turks, Progress Now, USA Today, Huffington Post, Daily Beast, Alt Press, Bleacher Report, Fox, Vancouver Sun, Clinton Hacks, CBS, The Nation, CNN, Newsweek, New York Times, a Pennsylvania state rep. I mean, it goes on and on. Screenshot after screenshot after screenshot after screenshot after screenshot, because they all started deleting their tweets after the FBI had a press conference saying that this story about the Proud Boys sending people emails threatening to beat them up if they didn't vote for Trump was actually Russian and Iranian propaganda. The Lincoln Project shared it. Oh, they shared it. Oh, boy, did they share it. And it was propaganda. The same people who screamed at you for over a week about disinformation themselves were sharing disinformation, like actual, literal Iranian and Russian disinformation. And so here's where we are. We have this story that comes out. We have another development in the Hunter Biden story today. And I mean, it is an absolute information war. These people are trying to suppress any questioning to their narrative. Yeah, Peter Hassan over at the Daily Caller reports that the Lincoln Project got 12,000 retweets amplifying Iranian misinformation. The USA Today tweet that they had, they said the Proud Boys, a far-right group with history of violent confrontations, denied responsibility and condemned these emails. It wasn't us, they said, but the whole story was written to intimate that, oh, it was them. Yeah, the U.S. confirmed that Iran was sending these emails. Unbelievable. So in one day, you had the same blue check legacy media folks sharing not one, not two, but three instances of disinformation. One was to target who they think is responsible for breaking this Hunter Biden story. The second was spreading Iranian disinformation. Iran and Russia were trying to incite civil unrest, and our media helped them. That is undeniable. And so, now today, here's the latest. We have emails. This isn't from the laptop, and I really want to underscore this. This latest development doesn't come from the laptop. It comes from the actual business partner of Hunter Biden, Tony Bobulinski. All of these emails that apparently were given to Mike Emanuel. Emails, actual emails, showing Joe Biden was signing off on foreign deals where he was using his son, Hunter, and his brother, Jim, as these intermediaries to make money off of his influence. There was one of them where they literally texted, quote, the Bobulinski was warned by his business partner, James Gilliar, quote, don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when you are face to face. I know you know that, but they are paranoid, which they geniusly texted. I mean, the emails, which we are going to go over, this is so unbelievably damning. And then, apparently, this laptop was also part of a separate money laundering investigation. I mean, it just gets crazier and crazier. It was connected to an FBI money laundering probe. Yet we're not allowed to ask questions about this. No, I tried sharing something from this story today and I lost my mind. You know what? And I'm going to tell you something too. I've been very rude on Twitter the past couple of days, and right now I don't feel bad about it. I don't. I don't feel graceful. I don't feel in any way merciful. I do not feel in any way kind. And I understand, and this is what I think half of the country that doesn't understand this feeling needs to realize. We have been kicked around for so long. Some of us were set up in an arena with a mob of people screaming, burn her. And it was on tape that the media ignored. We have been smeared, our integrity impugned, all because we dared to question the media watchdog. And the media watchdog has turned into an attack dog that is mauling us instead of standing as this beacon of truth, this informative resource to protect us against tyranny. And I'm going to talk about that today as well. The overarching theme today is the media malpractice. And I'll end with this because we're going to come back to this. You know, George Mason had said, when he was questioned as to what is a militia, he said that every American man and woman, they are the militia. And so too is it, by the way, folks, of a free press. A press pass is simply an identifier of outlet. It's not a measure of integrity or devotion to truth. A free press is every American man and woman. We're going to talk about that and a ton more coming up. And all of the latest with these emails. We're also going to set up the debate, what Trump needs to do and what he needs to not do. The latest on polling as well. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beet Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new Vitamin D3 Chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of Vitamin D3 Chews and a free bag of Super Beats Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Chews at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new danaradio.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
It's like drinking from a water hose today, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm really excited about this announcement. There are a number of outlets that said that NASA is to make a major moon announcement. An exciting news announcement about the moon. The flying observatory that made the new discovery is able to pick up phenomenon impossible to see with visible light, says NASA. So they're having this major event to talk about it. They did not reveal any details about the discovery. They said it contributes to their efforts to learn about the moon in support of deep space exploration, and that the discovery had come from the Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy, or AKA SOFIA. So are you telling us we can go live on the moon or send people to live there if they bother us? I'm just curious because that's all I care about. This is peak 2020, ladies and gentlemen. This comes from Post Millennial, and I saw it because Andy Ngo had tweeted it. A rifle-carrying trans-Muslim Antifa person was arrested at a riot in Phoenix. The mugshots are everything. It is a transsexual Muslim militant Antifa person who was arrested again, apparently, because this is not the first time, at a violent far-left protest in Phoenix last weekend. 35-year-old Brittany Erica Austin, formerly Eric Austin, was amongst 18 individuals arrested in downtown Phoenix. This is an ugly woman. At a violent anti-police protest, he was covered head to toe at the time in a black abaya and a burqa, and they shut down traffic. They were hurling incendiary devices at police officers, and this dude was carrying a semi-auto at the time. Police said it's an unlawful assembly, and they fired impact munitions and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, I don't care if people want to carry a rifle at a protest. Not also while you're throwing incendiary objects at police, okay? I mean, if I'm going to get in trouble by accidentally brandishing, if I reach up for the better pancake syrup at the supermarket, by damn, you better get cited if you're throwing crap at police and you got a rifle on your back. I'm not even. I mean, an ugly woman. Moving on. Do you have smartphone pinky? Experts warn of a new side effect after a video went viral. This is an actual thing. People use their phones for everything, and so the way that they're holding their phones, where they rest it on the, like, slightly bend your pinky and then rest your phone on your pinky, and they're saying that it's actually giving people, like, indentations in their finger, and it's making their fingers stressed. And I'm reading this article thinking how weak we are and how easy it would be for aliens to take us over. We have a million things. Those Biden emails, guys, and Twitter blocks Win Red but allows Zach Blue. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
If elected, what I will do is I'll put together a national commission of bipartisan commission of scholars, constitutional scholars, Democrats, Republicans, liberal, conservative. And I will ask them to, over 180 days, come back to me with recommendations as to how to reform the court system, because it's getting out of whack.
What? It's getting out of whack?
Why is it out of whack?
Well, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. That's Joe Biden. How is it getting out of whack? So what he's proposing here is he's going to form a bipartisan commission to recommend changes to the Supreme Court. So instead of, he wants to get away from court packing, and instead he wants to kneecap the Supreme Court. That's what he's saying here. He said that, yeah, we're going to, you know, get some all these different. He's not going to get you. Honestly, do you honestly sit here and think he's going to get some Republican conservative scholars? Do you really believe that? If you do believe that, I have a bridge to sell you. So he wants to come and kneecap it. He was telling this to ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Yes, I'm going to. And then this airs Sunday, too. So you have George Stephanopoulos. The full interview airs on CBS's 60 Minutes. So both Bidens are doing a full court press on Sunday with their little pre-recorded interviews. But the media, they're so objective. So objective, everybody. DanaLash.com. And here is where you can find me.
Do you have the guts?
Get out of the dark and visit DanaLash.com at DLash on Twitter and Instagram.
Don't forget Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube.
Ah, yes. Also, stream the show there at official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the first, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Make sure you go and sign up for that. Absolutely, sign up for the newsletter. You're going to want it tonight. And that's how you can participate in our debate discussions. I'm going to have that open tonight on my newsletter, where my newsletter is hosted, because it's a lot easier to keep up with it rather than Facebook. And I love how it's like all chronological. So it's very easy to follow, and it's very easy to weed out trolls. So go to DanaLash.com, sign up, so you can go to where it says subscribe and you can participate. And it's me. I'm sitting right there, just watching the debate, taking notes for the show. So you'll be able to see all of that. You'll be able to do all of that and hang out and fellowship with people, because the debate tonight, and I want to talk a minute about that before we jump back into these emails. I think that the Commission on Presidential Debates is going to do everything possible to press every single button that Donald Trump has tonight. The way that Trump can lose tonight is if he appears too aggressive. That's the way that he loses this tonight. And it's too close for him to. He needs to be the jovial, smart-ass Trump. That's who he needs to be. Where he's the happy warrior, but he's so sarcastic it's cutting. That is when he is at his best. And no one can touch him when he's like that. No one can get on a debate stage and come across at the same time as being amiable, but also a smart-ass. And Biden can't do it either. When Biden tries to be funny, he just comes across as old man mean, which is a different level of mean than just mean. You know, old man mean has like a whole other, has a bevy of spitefulness. It's just a difference, just a whole different game. But they're going to try to make Biden look as absolutely as vulnerable and picked upon and bullied as possible. That's what they're going to do. And they need Trump to be aggressive. Trump can't be. Now, what he has to do is highlight his economic successes, his foreign policy successes. He needs to take everything back. And this is where rhetoric is beautiful. He's got to take everything back to that. If they ask him about climate change, he can simply bring up, and he needs to desperately, how Joe Biden's energy policy would just practically bankrupt Pennsylvania. That's what he needs to say. There's a complete way to address something and also run it right back to where you need it to be. You need to realize, and this is what I've told other people, and whenever I've talked to like young conservatives that either I've brought on at different places that I am, or who email me and say, oh my gosh, this is my first hit, my first TV hit, what do I do? The when you're asked a question, you tell them what you want them to know. That's the whole goal. That's the whole point. You tell them what you want them to know. And you tell them in a way where it's, I just answered your question, but I just told you what I wanted you to know. Rhetoric is important. And so that's what Trump needs to remember. And he needs to stay in that zone. And if he brings everything back to that and he keeps, because that's how you push Joe Biden's button. They both have the same currency. But Joe Biden is incredibly predictable when he tries to go on defense. So Trump should wait before he brings up the Hunter Biden thing. And his jabs on that should be very subtle initially. And then depending on who, and if Joe decides to get in the mud, let him get in the mud and stay in the mud for a little bit before you swoop in and then bring that up even more. It is all about optics. Tonight's debate isn't for anything other than cementing anyone who's kind of wavering. I don't believe in the power of the undecideds. I don't, because there's not enough of them. And I think it's a lie to think that most people do not have their minds already made up. Nobody watches a debate 2 weeks before the election and determines that, oh, well, I hadn't made up my mind. I mean, I've seen that in hard data, and most people are too embarrassed to admit it anyway, because that is absolutely just fruit. You're not doing your due diligence as a free citizen if you honestly have not made up your mind at this point. It's ridiculous. Can we stop sitting here going, we got to kiss the feet of the undecideds? I actually think we need to demand more of them. If you seriously haven't figured it out by now, oh my gosh. So, this, I mean, in looking at all of this, that's how he's got it. That's how he has to approach the debate tonight. Now, as it relates to these emails, I'm telling you what, it is something else. These are bad, guys. Here, so Lieutenant Tony Bobulinski, he's a veteran, and he went on the record. This isn't from the laptop. This is Lieutenant Bobulinski going out there and being like, yep, here it is. This is it. And I'm looking at this. He released a statement discussing the email that he got about Hunter Biden, Rob Walker, New York Post, etc. He says, I'm the grandson of a 37-year Army intelligence officer, the son of a 20-plus-year career naval officer, and the brother of a 28-year career naval flight officer. I myself have served our country for 4 years and left the Navy as Lieutenant Bobulinski. I held a high-level security clearance and was an instructor and then a CTO for Naval Nuclear Power Training Command. I take great pride in the time my family and I served this country. I am also not a political person. What few campaign contributions I have made in my life were to Democrats. If the media and big tech companies had done their jobs over the past several weeks, I would be irrelevant in this story. Given my longstanding service and devotion to this great country, I could no longer allow my family's name to be associated or tied to Russian disinformation or implied lies and false narratives dominating the media right now. After leaving the military, I became an institutional investor, investing extensively around the world and on every continent. I've traveled to over 50 countries, and I believe, hands down, we live in the greatest country in the world. What I am outlining is fact. I know it is fact because I lived it. I am the CEO of Sinohawk Holdings, which was a partnership between the Chinese operating through CEFC/Chairman Ye and the Biden family. I was brought into the company to be the CEO by James Gillar and Hunter Biden. The reference to the big guy in the much publicized May 13th, 2017 email is, in fact, a reference to Joe Biden. And the other JB, writes Lieutenant Bobulinski in this letter to John Roberts, Fox, and Mike Emanuel. The other JB referenced in that email is Jim Biden, Joe's brother. Hunter Biden called his dad the big guy or my chairman and frequently referenced asking him for his sign off or advice on various potential deals that we were discussing. I've seen Vice President Biden saying that he never talked to Hunter about his business. I've seen firsthand that's not true because it wasn't just Hunter's business. They said they were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line. I realized, he adds, that the Chinese were not really focused on a healthy financial return of investment. They were looking at this as a political or influence investment. And once I realized that Hunter wanted to use the company as his personal piggy bank by just taking money out of it as soon as it came in from the Chinese, I took steps to prevent that from happening. The Johnson Report connected some dots in a way that shocked me. It made me realize the Bidens had gone behind my back and gotten paid millions of dollars by the Chinese, even though they told me they hadn't and wouldn't do that to their partners. I would ask the Biden family to address the American people and outline the facts so I can go back to being irrelevant. And so I am not put in a position to have to answer to those questions for them. I don't have a political axe to grind. I just saw behind the Biden curtain and I grew concerned with what I saw. The Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled China. Oh, my. And he's on the record. Here's the deal. It means something different now after you heard that, doesn't it? So the next time Joe Biden brings up the debunked story of Trump disparaging military, which Trump didn't, and you want to talk about that sacred service, then you ask Joe Biden why he did this to a veteran. How do you get around this? Is it galling to anyone else that no one in media is asking about this? You know what? You fund NPR with your tax dollars. You know this, right? You fund NPR with your tax dollars. And they decided that they just don't care about what you think and or the story. NPR public editor tweeted 2 hours ago, quote, "Why haven't you seen any stories from NPR about the New York Post's Hunter Biden story? Read more in this week's newsletter." And the headline says this: We don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories, and we don't want to waste the listeners and readers' time on stories that are just pure distractions. End quote.
That's all NPR.
Yep.
That's all they do.
Hmm. Yeah, they are trying to say that they are not covering it because it's not real news. It's not real news. That's what they stated. Why do we give them our tax dollars again? Here's the thing. This is what legacy media forgets. It's not up to them to determine what is or is not real news. They are not the nanny. They were supposed to be the watchdog, but they've mauled us. You determine what is or is not newsworthy. I want you to look at all of these entities that are trying to steal your sovereignty, whether it is the free press that turned into they turned into fascistic censors. I know censor is usually a phrase that's reserved for when the government does it, but when you're acting on behalf of, Democrat elected officials and you're badgering Facebook and Twitter and all these social media platforms to restrict and suppress the speech and sharing of conservatives, libertarians, and Republicans, and they listen. When your staff and their campaign and their staff are almost indistinguishable because you guys trade so much, I think that at that point it just becomes, you're nitpicking at verbiage here. I mean, I just, it's unbelievable that so many people are not asking questions about this. And what's more, in these stories, in all of these emails, do you realize that Kamala Harris is named and other elected Democrats as business contacts? I mean, and the emails are there, and we're going to go over some more of them. It's unbelievable, guys. This is the worst media bias and disinformation from Legacy Press I have ever seen. They are Pravda. And we are going to talk about what is and is not a free press coming up.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
He's hiding from the biggest scandal, one of the biggest scandals in American history. There are emails, Sean, where Hunter is asking for $10 million to be held by H. Hunter for the big guy, Joe Biden. I mean, and then there's emails with the sister, and you've seen those emails as well. You know, unlike what Dad makes me do, I'm not going to make you have to pay half of my salary or half of your salary to me. I mean...
Yep, that's true. That's Eric Trump talking about all of that very interesting stuff that's coming out in all of these emails. It's pretty unbelievable. And this one, I want to reiterate that these aren't from the laptop. It's from a business partner of Hunter Biden's who is like, I'm done having my name tied to this Russian conspiracy stuff. I mean, this is damning. Oh my gosh, how in the world do you not bring this up at a debate? The Commission of Presidential Debates, you people are hacks. Absolute hacks. I was so, and welcome back to the show, Dana Loesch. I was so mad about this last night, particularly, and today, because I have written about media bias. Oh my gosh. Even before I got on radio, I ran an entertainment and political website and a print alt weekly back in my hometown for a while. And I've talked about media bias for so long. And to see it at this level, now they don't care. They just don't care. I mean, the idea that you're actually putting in text, well, don't mention Joe, right? That's what that Gillard said to Bobulinski in text. Well, don't mention Joe in this. You know how paranoid they are. Just only talk about it when you see him in person. You just texted that. Genius. Good heavens. So this is the idea of a free press. I think that that I'm writing one of the newsletters that you're going to get today. It's going to include how the free press lie. We're going to discuss this. I'm going to read more emails to you. There's so much coming. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show back in a second.
It's The Dana Show.
We're not going to have a president that goes out of his way to insult anybody who doesn't support him or threaten them with jail. That's not normal presidential behavior. We wouldn't tolerate it from a high school principal. We wouldn't tolerate it from a coach. We wouldn't tolerate it from a coworker. We wouldn't tolerate it in our own family, except for maybe crazy uncle somewhere, you know. Why would we expect and accept this from the president of the United States?
Oh my gosh.
And why are folks making excuses for that? Oh, well, that's just him.
Oh my gosh. So that was Barack Obama's address yesterday. He was doing a campaign fundraiser there for Joe Biden, who is currently in his basement. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Loesch. Where to even start? Everything that he said there was stuff that he actually did, that Barack Obama actually did. I mean, when he was wiretapping Associated Press reporters, when he actually also did the same thing and threatened James Rosen with jail time because James Rosen had written a fact-based story off using publicly accessible information that countered the Obama administration's narrative as it related to their position strength against North Korea. And so instead of just being a better president, he just threatened to write to jail people in media who wrote the truth about the consequence of his actions. And the press was horribly treated during the Obama administration. I don't know if there has ever been an administration, maybe perhaps with the exception of Clinton's, because he used the IRS to, well, they're probably about this. I think Obama went further than Clinton, because Clinton just used the IRS to go and audit all the reporters that he didn't like. But Barack Obama, not only did he use the IRS, but he also threatened them with, he was actually saying, what is he saying about Rosen, that his actions were like a threat to national security, and it was ridiculous and over the top, but no one complained about it because they all wanted access, because Barack Obama still, no matter what, had this sort of popular perspective. He was viewed popularly by the base that they wanted to endear themselves to, and they would rather have access to that popularity and power than do anything like report on accurately report on what was happening that would jeopardize that access. That's where we are with the free press. And that's phoning it in, by the way. All you do is go up there and just accuse the guy of doing what you did. And by the way, isn't that why Trump was impeached? Because he wanted to investigate the corruption that Joe Biden's family was absolutely, unequivocally, indisputably, unarguably involved in? It's rhetorical. I mean, I know the answer is yes. Oh my heavens. These emails that came out today, ladies and gentlemen, are pretty, I mean, golly, not just these emails that are coming out today, because you had the Lieutenant Tony Bobulinski, who wrote to the press and shared emails with the press and did was doing everything that that he could to separate his name from the scandal that is engulfing the Biden family. And I mean, some of the emails and are just unbelievable. And some of the texts, rather. And these texts, it was an email that Bobulinski sent to some reporters. But these texts were not on the laptop. These are separate. This was back and forth between Hunter Biden's business partners. His business partner, James Gillar, he literally texted on May 20th, and here's like actual the screen cap of the text. Don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when you are face to face. I know you know that, but they are paranoid. I mean, so go ahead and text it. Make sure you say Joe. Good heavens. And this, he says, James Gillar told Bobulinski about the specter of Hunter's foreign business dealings hurting Biden's campaign. He texts this. This is what Gillar texts. You need to stress to Hunter, does he want to be the reason or factor that blows up his dad's campaign? Things need to be done right and protective of that fact. I pinged Hunter and just said I saw he called last night. When does he want to connect? Meaning taking the position with director and chairman. Wow. Wow.
It's clear.
How?
It's clear.
I mean, how do you look, speaking purely objectively, to me, when you have stories like this, it should be irrelevant, the party affiliation behind the name, whether it's an R or D, because now what you're doing is discussing selling access to a power that these people don't own. Do you understand what I say with this? They're talking about making money off of the American voter. People like Joe Biden and these other elected politicians, where do they get their power, everybody? We all remember civics and the point of our republic origination. Where do they get their power? They get it from us. We are the people who, through the authority of our consent, empower these politicians. We empower them to act in our best interests. We don't empower them to go off to communist China and make deals monetizing that power we give them. That's what this is. You are being monetized without your consent. Joe Biden has turned you essentially into a prostitute. Any politician who would sell out the elected office, regardless of party affiliation, is guilty of the same. That's the reality of this. I mean, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I'm just, I want to get to the 60 Minutes stuff with Leslie Stahl and all of this. I mean, it is, and Trump posted this unedited interview. Leslie Stahl looks awful. I also saw this piece from Peter Hassan. He had reported on this, I think this was back in 2017. And this Senate report was discussing, speaking of the Bidens, that they ran up a $100,000 spending spree on a bank account Hunter opened with a Chinese investor, Gong Wendong, who's on one of the emails that they have. These emails are bad. I mean, they had super extensive financial connections to this. The Bidens used the credit cards they opened to purchase $101,291.46 worth of extravagant items, including airline tickets, Apple products, hotels, restaurants. They were all collateralized by transferring $99,000 from a Hudson West III account to a separate account where the funds were held until the cards were closed. The transaction was identified for potential financial criminal activity. Oh my gosh, guys, there's more and more. There's just more. And let me pull up this story. This is a Washington Examiner piece. All of this stuff. There was a $1.5 billion contract in Iraq that Jim Biden, that's Joe's brother, that this is back in 2012. You remember this? This is a Washington Examiner piece that I saw this re-upped yesterday evening, and I grabbed this link because this goes into how long this has been going on and how it's kind of been kind of somewhat known. But it gets into James Biden, Jim Biden. He was the executive president of Hill International's housing subsidiary, despite any documented work history in residential construction. And if the company's projections are accurate, both Hill and Biden are on the verge of a huge payday, beneficiaries because of his connections through the Obama administration through his brother. And this actually, interestingly enough, the whole reason that this came to light, this story came to light, was because Mitt Romney went after Obama over green energy subsidies to campaign donors, and this came out in it. I'm just going to lay that out there. Kind of stepped on himself back in 2012. Ooh, man. They have been merching the VP seat forever. Right, that's what they're doing. They're merching it out. Do y'all get a cut of that? Because I don't get a cut of having my influence, the authority of my consent. Although I wouldn't consent to him, but you know what I mean. It's ours. We, after an election is fairly decided, we give consent through the Constitution because we honor our republic, and that's how our republic has power, because of consistency. And this is one thing that John Adams established very early on after the Boston Massacre when he defended the Redcoats. So that needs to be acknowledged. So there was a meeting that Bobulinski had, can I just add this too? Why the hell does everything happen at the Beverly Hilton Hotel?
I noticed that.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Everything happens at that hotel. That was the hotel that John Edwards and Rael Hunter were at. And it's also the hotel where apparently Joe Biden was meeting with Tony Bobulinski. Why that one? I have so many questions. I have more texts and emails, and including an April 6, 2017 one where Hunter Biden is asked what the Chinese are interested in. And he says everything. He says, quote, everything. The only thing I told them I would not do is defense related technology and arms and anything that would give the Chinese a military advantage. Yeah, we got a lot. But, you know, this can't come up in the debate tonight. And Leslie Stahl says none of this is verified, except the guy who had the text is like, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, man, we've got a lot, folks. And then the debate this evening as well. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972 Patriot or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972 Patriot. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972 Patriot. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I have massive sad face. Santa Claus is not coming to Macy's this year. Yep, a Fox affiliate, Channel 5 KVVU TV in Vegas. They say that the Macy's and Associated Press, they say that Macy's Santa Claus is not going to be greeting kids at its flagship New York store because of the Rona. This is a 160-year-long tradition. More than a quarter of a million people go to Macy's just to see Santa. They said it's going to be hard to create a safe environment during a pandemic. So, because you have to be in tight quarters, and it's like a maze through Santa Land, and there's toy trains and elves, and Santa's not going to be at the Chicago or San Fran stores either. And he is still going to be at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but this is depressing. I'm really sad. That's really sad. How sad is that? What in the world? Also, latest from, this is the George Floyd, from the George Floyd case, a judge dismissed the third degree murder charge against Derek Chauvin in the killing of George Floyd. He was charged, and a couple of other police officers were charged on different, they had obviously different charges. But they said that the former officer still faces charges of a second degree murder and second degree manslaughter for that May 25th death of Floyd. And it's a Hennepin County judge, but they did dismiss the third count. So that's just the development in that case. Also, drinking from a fire hose today, folks. I had that one. Get this. Coronavirus, I don't trust them, but they say, apparently some Chinese scientists say that the coronavirus can survive on frozen food packaging. Their version of the CDC says this. I think they're liars. I don't believe a single damn thing that those people say, that the communist government of China says at all whatsoever. Intelligence chief Chris Mellon reveals he's the one who provided the New York Times with three infamous UFO videos that it published in 2017 after being handed clips in a Pentagon parking lot by a DOD official. I know! He made this bombshell admission in this UFO documentary called The Phenomenon, which is being directed by a guy named James Fox. The 63-year-old Mellon said that he met with an unnamed individual in the parking lot of the Pentagon months earlier, and they just handed him this package containing three videos. And it was images of three unexplained aerial phenomena captured by Navy pilots between 2004 and 2015. And he's the one, he came out and that makes me even... That lends it even more credibility. Oh, my goodness. It's aliens, I'm telling you. Tiger King's Carol Baskin says she is bisexual. Do you care?
No.
She fed her husband to a tiger. I'm just saying. I knew that we were going to descend into this armed feudalism at some point. A bailiff has pinned a court summons to the gate of Phil Collins' Miami mansion because his ex-wife took over. They said that took over the home in an armed occupation. Like, she brought in all these like gun-toting people and they took over Phil Collins' Miami mansion. Yeah. I mean, we're not at Borderlands level yet, guys. So come on. Like, let's just slow down. And a big old pile of eels was dumped in a New York City park. The impact not yet known. Well, it's gross. How about that? Stick with us. The worst bias in media history.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Madam Speaker, these serious allegations of corruption involving Joe Biden have been raised in recent days.
I'm sorry, I'm not answering your questions. Okay, we're talking about the coronavirus. That's what I don't have all day for questions. That's what we're taking now.
Hmm. Say a little prayer, Dana. Just, Lord, put a hand over my mouth. Jesus' name I pray, amen. My goodness. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. That was Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't want to talk to you about your Hunter Biden nonsense. She doesn't want to talk about it. No. In fact, nobody in the media does. I just saw this piece that my friend Kurt Schlichter retweeted. Rolling Stone. I've got to share this with you. Vile, baseless conspiracy theories are spreading about Hunter Biden. And despite pledges to curb misinformation in the lead up to the election, social media sites aren't stopping them. So, I want to break this down. First off, here's another example of media demanding that social media entities suppress any kind of thought or speech that contradicts their narrative.
Yep.
Just so you know, all of the suppression that you see on social media came because media demanded it. The so-called watchdog of the people that has turned around and mauled the people. And they're not vile and baseless either. There are literal receipts. Receipts, like actual drop slips with signatures and emails and texts from business partners who use their names and their veteran status and go on the record. But additionally, when did Rolling Stone's beans shrivel up into nothingness? Right? When did you little Puritan people at Rolling Stone become such an advocate for the man? When did you become such an establishment stooge? Right? Like, aren't you people supposed to be rock and roll? Punk rock? Fist in the air, kind of, right? Where the hell did that go? For real. I've never seen so many people carrying it for the man before over at Rolling Stone. Well, it's no wonder. I mean, your musical taste just sucks out loud, because when you look at one of the top 100 lists, my gosh, some of the people who are picking the people that are in the top 10, I'm like, have you ever heard music? Yeah, Rolling Stone is like if the AARP decided to try to be edgy. Hey, kids, them Hunter Biden stories are real no-nos. These are real bad things. That's what it is. That's what they're doing.
How do you do, fellow kids?
There you go. Oh, yeah. These are bad thoughts. Mm-mm, bad facts. I mean, it's like watching 1984 come to life, right? I mean, it is. It's like you have a bunch of blue hairs over. I'm so sorry for if you have actual blue hair, but you have a bunch of blue hairs at Rolling Stone. And then the aging Jan Wenner, he's alive still, right? Is he? Hell, I don't even know. Jan Wenner, who runs Rolling Stone and does the Butt Kiss Rock and Roll Museum, which is not even like rock and roll, but what if? And they're the ones who are, well, they want to act like the gatekeepers of cool. Y'all are dorks. Yeah. I mean, for real. But honestly, it's Rolling Stone. They're supposed to be edgy, but yeah, they're not. And someone made a really good point. Corporate interests learned that if they control alternative news, then they can control an entire generation of younger voters. All these people totally got conned by the man, and they don't even know it. You're in the Matrix. You are in the Matrix. Can you believe this?
The call's coming from inside the house.
People like Johnny Rotten have never wavered. Right. They have been punk rock from the get-go. Consistently punk rock from the get-go. Never, has never changed. Somebody was making the point, what was it, back in the 70s? Like over 40, was it over 40 years ago? Where the establishment in England was trying to prevent God Save the Queen from charting number one. And now here, all this time later, you have these similar entities, the establishment, trying to prevent anything that's actually rebellious reporting from charting, so to speak. The establishment never, they are always the establishment. They never change. You can dress them up. You can put them in black Hot Topic clothes. You can have them dress like a bunch of posers. You can put them in, you know, the blue-haired Rolling Stone. You can do all of that, but they're still the establishment. That doesn't change. They still carry the water for the man. I mean, it's a joke. You're jokes. So, it's this totalitarian way of thinking. I wanted to pull up this piece that I had, I saved from Jonathan Turley. He published this morning. He has a piece in The Hill where he talks about the Hunter Biden controversy and the response of the Biden campaign and Adam Schiff and how they want to say, well, this is disinformation from Russia. No, the disinformation was that thing where the story about Proud Boys trying to beat up people who weren't going to vote for Trump. That was the disinformation that the FBI had a presser about yesterday that y'all were out there retweeting. So, But he brings up a very interesting point. Here's his headline. The rise of the corporate censors, how America is drifting towards the Chinese model of media. He says, as many of us have written, there is ample reason to suspect foreign intelligence, and the FBI is investigating that possibility. However, that does not mean that the emails are not authentic. Hillary Clinton was hacked by Russia, but the emails were still real. It's possible to investigate both those responsible for the laptop's disclosure and what has been disclosed on the laptop. Truth. He says the censorship by these companies, however, has magnified concerns in the controversy, particularly with the disclosure of close connections between some company officials and the Biden campaign. Chinese citizens watched President Xi Jinping deliver an important speech this week, not far from Hong Kong. Well, not the whole speech. Xi is apparently ill, and every time he went into a coughing spasm, Chinese state media cut away so that he would only be shown in perfect health. His cough came to mind as Twitter and Facebook prevented Americans from being able to read the New York Post's explosive allegations of influence peddling by Hunter Biden through their sites. And they cited material recovered from a laptop that showed requests for Hunter Biden to use his influence on his father, then VP Joe Biden, and embarrassing photos of Hunter Biden. And he's right when he says, and I've said this as well, many of us have questioned the sketchy details of how the laptop was left by Hunter Biden with a nearly blind computer repairman. Just... I'm going to try to get back to this because it's so true. And then revealed just weeks before the presidential election. There are ample reasons to question, you know, where it came from. But he says, yes, the funny thing he's talking about Russia and compromising information. He goes, is that it can be true. And indeed, the most damaging and most useful when it is true. And he says that Hunter Biden has yet to deny this was his laptop, his emails or his images. And he goes, if all of this was fabricated, then serious crimes were committed. But if it's genuine, then the Bidens lied for years as raw influence peddlers in a scheme worth millions that stretch from China to Ukraine to Russia. And moreover, these countries likely have compromising information and this information all along while the Bidens and media denied reports of illicit activities. Either way, it's major news. But he says that the tech company's actions are an outrageous example of open censorship and bias. And it shows how private companies can effectively become state media working for one party. True. Absolutely true. I mean, I keep saying I can't believe I'm retweeting Glenn Greenwald lately because it just shocks me because I haven't been like his biggest fan. But he's been consistent on this, I will say. And he was making the point earlier. He said last night, he tweets, however much contempt you have for the mainstream press right now, it's insufficient. I don't have words to adequately convey what they're doing. Here's the thing. I wrote this piece yesterday about how when the media became overlords, and I said the other day, the story about how this whole thing reminds me of John Edwards. And when John Edwards was caught having his affair, and how the National Enquirer, how they were the ones who broke the story because all of these other media outlets passed. And the way that it's being treated now is very similar to me. But I also noted on Twitter earlier, there's another part of that too, because when the National Enquirer ran it, all of the outlets that passed on that story, they dismissed what the National Enquirer had reported on. They dismissed that scoop as trash gossip because the scoop did not appear in a more reputable publication, as if these other publications that passed on this story specifically due to politics still had any kind of credibility intact, right? But the story was true nonetheless, and there was no amount of insulting the National Enquirer's reputation that changed those images at the time of John Edwards and Rielle Hunter at the Beverly Hilton. And so after spending weeks denying it and trying to suppress it, the overwhelming public interest and the dogged reporting from some who were still dedicated to truth, they forced it mainstream and ended his political career. And as I said yesterday, you know, the New York Post was founded, for crying out loud, by Alexander Hamilton. And that's hardly similar to National Enquirer. But this was the modern moment that the storied and sanctified legacy media outlets, they proved that their political prioritization made them no better than the gossip outlets that they looked down on. Because at least the gossip outlets like National Enquirer were honest about what they were and are. Legacy media outlets, they live on this fairy tale credit of respect for the citizen and some devotion to the pursuit of truth, which they do not demonstrate from coverage or behavior. You know, George Mason said, when asked who was the militia, he said, every man and woman in America. And when we discuss who is the free press, that same answer applies. Every man and woman in America. This idea that I think there's a lie as to who the free press is, because a press pass is, it's just a measure of verification association with an outlet. It doesn't grant the pass holder the power of objectivity or a desire for truth or a zeal for informing the public. It's actually used as a cudgel to silence the unwashed masses. And the purpose of the press that has been celebrated and protected throughout history was to inform and to be the watchdog of the citizens. And now it just mauls them. See, that's the thing. A press pass doesn't make you a member of the press, nor a byline, nor a masthead, or anything else that's becoming a relic. Your citizenry makes you a member of the press. Your keyboard. And just as George Mason defended that idea of the militia as being every American man and woman, so too is it with the press. A sea of citizen journalists. So, I'm writing about this later today for the newsletter. But I think that's very, very important to understand, especially now, when that proverbial watchdog for the people would rather maul you for dissent than to inform you against the forces of tyranny. We have more to come, including Florida Man on the way.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, I do love me this story. This is from WDBO, and it's a good one. Trespassing Florida woman arrested after giving a fake butt name to police. No, she really did. Her name is Melina Guerrero. She was arrested Wednesday because she refused to leave a gas station in St. Petersburg. She also would not tell the police her real name. Should I actually legitimately share what she wrote on this report?
Yeah. Of course.
Are you serious?
Of course, it's news.
Here, this is what you can read it then. This is what she...
You're gonna make
this literally is her name on their police report. That's what she told them.
My name is My Butt Just Farted.
That's what she told them.
She literally put that on there.
She literally wrote that. Not once, but several times. That's what she said.
Who says it like that but toddlers, maybe?
Yeah. So she got an additional charge. So not only did she get a trespassing charge, Mrs. I mean, like, how would you even hyphenate that? What's the middle name?
I think Butt Just is her middle name.
Butt Just?
And
so her name is My?
My.
So she got two middle names?
Her last name is Farty. Yeah, she's got two middle names.
Okay. So she not only got the trespassing charge, but she got a charge for providing a false name to law enforcement. They're both misdemeanors, but... And also, her mugshot, she's mean mugging, and she doesn't GAF. I mean, she just makes it very clear. She just... That's right. She does not give that. That is correct, right? I want to make this an honorary Florida person story, even though it's Australian, because this would also probably happen in Florida. A woman woke up to find a 12-foot snake trying to eat her. Now, this was in Australia, which is the independent country version of Florida. And the snake is called an Australian scrub python, and it lives in, I don't know. I don't even know what the hell that is. But this, it's like, this thing is ridiculously huge, 12 feet long, and it weighs 10. It was huge, and it could eat a child. And so she apparently left her bedroom door open, and there was like a crack in the door outside, and it somehow got in and was trying to eat her, like trying to attack her. And it attacked her dog. It left the dog unconscious. The dog was saved. It required resuscitation. And I love how, like, their version of Fish and Wildlife was like, it was a freak mistake. It was just probably a hungry snake. That's literally what they said. I'm not making this up. That's actually what they said. This was a freak mistake by a snake that was probably very hungry.
Mistake.
I think it's probably more than that. Yeah, they don't. They do that on purpose. It's not like it went away and went, ah, sorry, my bad. You know, it's not. I'm just assuming it would have an Australian accent. And last but not least, a Florida man was accused of using a Kool-Aid packet to steal $1,000 in Walmart merch. This is Tampa, WFLA. Yeah, 24-cent Kool-Aid packet. He's a felon. He got in mad trouble, but he ripped up three packets, and he got in trouble. Don't steal anything, people. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
Bill O'Reilly here. The presidential election just weeks away. As you know, more than ever, folks need real analysis and honest facts, not speculation and partisan reporting. The traditional news and cable networks feed you biased coverage and skewed analysis 24 hours a day. The pundits parade around trying to score cheap shots, and the big media companies silence anyone who disagrees with them. Do you want Facebook or Twitter deciding what you see and hear? All that stops now with me, Bill O'Reilly, and my free podcast. Don't waste another minute of your time on the dishonest networks peddling fake news. Now you can listen to the O'Reilly Update and excerpts from my nightly no-spin news free. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts and be sure to subscribe. Like you, I'm tired of the dishonest media. It's corrupt. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe now.
Another email referenced 10% held by Hunter for the big guy. I wonder who the big guy was. The big guy. He doesn't look so big to me. He doesn't look so big when he walks on the stage. He's not looking too strong.
Mm.
Fragile, very fragile. But the big guy, they call him the big guy.
Yeah, and the chairman, at least that's what we're seeing in the texts. Just that, I mean, here, and welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. There are more texts that are being released today. And this, by the way, is, this isn't the laptop. This is just, these are just the texts that are coming out now from a business partner, from one of Hunter Biden's business partners. And so, oh my heavens, he has one. This is Hunter Biden says, and he's talking to Tony Bobulinski. He says, and Tony, that is what Zing implied. They are both coming to be my partner, to be partners with the Bidens. He has implied that the number one has made that clear and available to him. I mean, guys, what the hell? It doesn't get any more damning than this. Not at all. Oh, my word. This is huge. Not at all trending. No, but Twitter's making damn sure that Prince William getting called his royal thinus because he went to a KFC is trending. I'm not. It's totally real. Yeah, Kane. Because that matters. I just can't even with these people. I mean, I don't even care. Honestly, I don't even care how the laptop came to be. It doesn't change the fact that these are real. So I don't give a hot damn. I don't care. I don't care if the crackhead dropped it off at this blind repairman shop or not. I mean, it doesn't get any more ridiculous than this. This 2020 just keeps going, here, hold my beer. Stop. I don't care how it came to light. It's real. Oh, so you not liking how it came to be known negates the fact that it's real? Okay, let's do the deep throat operation. Go ahead, go back to Watergate. Go back to everything else. I don't like how this information came to light. So that must mean this information isn't real. That's like that's a logical fallacy. Shoot the messenger. Doesn't make any sense. And he's never said, in fact, they dance around having to say that it's fake. They won't at all say that it's fake. And Joe Biden's own campaign surrogate said no one's disputing the authenticity of this. Oh, the media is going, we got to protect our guy. and they're running all in. You, the American citizen, are standing there going, I thought you were supposed to inform us. No, no, you all are mistaken, says the press. Our job is to get Democrats elected. Jimmy. So, I'm just saying, it's just, and then, oh man. Here's the other, pull the soundbite up. This was Obama in Philly. He finally came out and said something. But he was talking about the account? Because apparently Barack Obama is financially illiterate. Listen to this. Oh, my God.
We know that he continues to do business with China because he's got a secret Chinese bank account.
Okay, I got to stop right there. I'm not going to get through. Guess what's not secret? It is an account created specifically to pay $180,000 to China in tax because the Trump International Hotels had an international hotel in China, and that was the tax that they paid on that. That's how that works. And do you know how we know it? Because it was public. It was publicly known. Because they made it public. It was a publicly known, publicly accessible, because it was a public filing, which is the opposite of secret. I mean, just because you were dumb and didn't know about it doesn't mean it's a secret. That's where we are. I'm dumb and don't know things. That's because it's secret, isn't it? No, it's because you're a moron. I mean, I really think it's adorable that we're now trying to masquerade complete financial illiteracy as, well, it was kept secret, guys. It's not secret, though. That's what's troubling. And he was paying taxes. You know how to say tag? You guys love taxes.
Right.
I mean, hell, you guys want to jack them up on everybody in America and raise the top marginal rate to 69%. So, well, you know, there you... I love it. Secret. Secret. It's all secret because I don't know these things. Good heavens. So, the other... A couple of other things here. The debate is tonight. And it usually is about foreign policy. It's not going to be about foreign policy. It's going to be about climate change and anything that we cannot get Joe Biden on. That's how they're going to try to structure this. And I don't know if they're going to get into big tech. I can't even imagine they're going to get into big tech. But I have to say, I hope that they really do, and I hope the president is able to contrast how much better he is on economic policy than Biden. Do you guys see the Biden plans for rail? And why in the hell do socialists love trains? You know, I have it on my show sheet, but it was a friend that said this to me. Because I made this point to my friend. I was like, what in the hell is up with socialists and trains? Why do they love trains? Because Biden's been talking about big plans for rail. And then they have this like map that has Amtrak with all of these expansions. And it's like a $25 quadrillion. And everyone's like, what? And so I put it on my rundown as Biden's plans for big rail are some big time toddler burp. That's what I put, because it is. Just a reminder that San Diego spent $2 billion to extend a trolley line by 10 miles.
Oh.
I'm fascinated as to why socialists love trains. And I said this in text to a friend of mine. I'm just going to tell you, my friend had texted back, well, they use the cattle cars for more than just cattle. And I go, what? And they go, they're people cars. The socialists have used them for people, too. I'm talking about the National Socialists, which was the German Nazis. There you go. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But that's not wrong. Where's the lie?
Right.
So I don't know. I'm just pointing that out because, you know, Dems to rules. So it's true. Where's the lie? I'm just saying. So the debate tonight, I can't, there's so many things that I really wish would come up, and it's not coming up. I also want to get into some of the polling and the president, as we discussed earlier, his best means of attack is to not, he has to go on offense, but he cannot look so aggressive that he looks like he's beating up on Joe Biden, because Joe Biden, they're trying to make look as pathetic as possible. By the way, you know, he took down that bar ad, the millionaire tech guy who did the Beastie Boys ad that ran. Remember, we talked about this on Sunday, and he was like, he says, all live music is suffering because Donald Trump shut down all our bars or something like that. It turns out he's this big millionaire tech guy who actually advocated for the lockdown. I wanted everything shut down, and it shut down, and I'm so shocked that it shut down. Must be Trump's fault. Golly, he is the walking version of that meme where somebody's riding a bike and they stick a, put a stick in the spoke, and they fall off their bike and clutch their knee, and they go, damn, Trump. That's, he's that guy. That's him. There's a mute button that they're going to have in the debate tonight. You remember the time that they tried to mute button, or do you remember this video, Audio Soundbite 30? They tried to turn off Ronald Reagan's mic, and Ronald Reagan was, like, about to throw down for it. Listen.
Would the sound man please turn Mr. Reagan's mic off for a minute? Is this on? Mr. Green,
you turn that microphone.
You asked for me if you would. I am paying for this microphone, Mr. Green.
Ooh. I'm just going to say, if you get a moment like that, whew, just saying, if you get a moment like that, it's going to be pretty amazing. I also wanted to play this audio soundbite because I found this to be one of the most offensive things, and this may or may not come up. This was an, I think that Joe Biden tweeted this out thinking that this was going to be something smart. He tweeted this out, and he typed in, America was an idea. We've never lived up to it, but we've never walked away from it before, which is like, the hell does that mean?
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, listen.
America was an idea. An idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident.
You know, the thing.
We've never lived up to it, but we've never walked away from it before.
We've never and lived up
I
to it?
I just think we have to be more honest and let our kids know
whoa.
As we raise them what actually...
To not snort coke. So Joe Biden says we've never lived up to the ideal of America. Really? We've never lived up to the ideal. There are thousands of headstones in Arlington that say otherwise. There are people, service and civilian, who their very existence and actions dispute that every single day. We've never lived up to the ideal. First off, this is some non sequitur BS. Secondly, how is this not any different from Barack Obama? When, what was his quote on America? He had said something that was as offensive as this. We've never lived up to the ideal of America. Well, maybe you didn't see that, Mr. Vice President, because you were too busy sending your brother and your son out there to make deals with communists to enrich your family. Maybe you didn't know that because you were too busy trying to cut deals with Ukrainian energy companies. When you're too busy using your elected seat to enrich yourself instead of serving the people, I would define that as not living up to the ideal. Not anything else. We have a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere, because coming up, the got some polling. We got some as well. Some attacks. It's the cannibalization that has been taking place on the right as well. And we're going to get into all of the media and the promotion of Iranian propaganda and fake texts. And what's lost in that is more Twitter suppression, or actually really social media suppression, because WinRed, which is the Republican version of Act Blue, Twitter has blocked WinRed, but allows Act Blue. That's like an in-kind donation. We're going to talk about this. There's still a lot.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The University of Texas Longhorn Band won't play the Eyes of Texas this weekend because some of the members say they are not willing. The football game between UT and Baylor, after some of the members revealed that they don't want to play the traditional alma mater song because they think it's we're in a cancel culture. It has, somebody said it has to do something, the song has ties to long ago minstrel shows or something like that. And so that's why they're not going to play it. So, okay. They said that the band members are evenly divided, according to the student newspaper. Okay. So, that's I don't know. I don't know. Everything's awful, right? I mean, that's how it is. Oh, and Joe Biden says he would set up a bipartisan commission of scholars from across the ideological spectrum to explore how to change the Supreme Court. People who can think call it Congress. Kamala Harris failed to prosecute an illegal MS-13 gang member months before he murdered a family. Oh my goodness, because she was the top cop in California that only just apparently jailed people who smoke pot. 48-year-old Tony Bologna, right? Isn't that his name? Bologna or Bologna? My Bologna? How's that? Bologna. I have to sing the song to remember. In 2008, 48-year-old Tony Bologna and his three sons were driving home from a family barbecue in San Francisco when an MS-13 gang member who was in the country illegally named Edwin Ramos was driving alongside them and just randomly opened fire, killing all three of them in the shooting. And he said he shot them because he misidentified them as gang members, and it rose to prominence. Harris, at the time, she didn't prosecute him. So she would not, she failed to prosecute. Too busy putting people who smoke small amounts of pot, apparently, in jail. That's what she was focused on. A new coronavirus outbreak rocks New Zealand as 11 new cases emerge days after Jacinda Ardern won over voters by eliminating the, well, she didn't eliminate the virus, clearly, but she won re-election as prime minister on the optics that she did. One officer is killed and another wounded after they were shot while responding to a domestic violence incident at a Houston apartment complex. Imagine if you had just sent a social worker there to deal with that instead of armed police. It would have been even worse. Our prayers are with these fallen officers' families. We have a lot more coming up next. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
We're looking at over 220 million Americans who just in the last several months died.
What? Damn! Are we dead?
What?
Kane, are you alive?
I feel alive.
Steve, you here? You alive, man? Damn, we almost lost Steve.
I can see Rachel's alive.
Rachel's alive.
But two-thirds of the country died?
Are you all alive out there? Two-thirds of the country. Kamala Harris. She's doing some of that special Biden math.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
See, it's called malarkey math with Joe Biden. So when y'all are homeschooling your kids during the distance learning, try some malarkey math from Joe Biden.
It's common core.
There is 11 decarpillion people in the United States. All of you are dead. We're all ghosts. We're all ghosts. Woo. Oh, man. Come on, people. I do love, I mentioned to Kane and Rachel earlier, the only thing that's like trending right now, it's not Hunter Biden. The royal thinness, because some dude, William over there in England went to a KFC. Did you get you a bucket? Did you get you the Colonel's Crispy? Just asking. And then finally, the Trump leaking the 60 Minutes interview. If you guys haven't seen this, so he sat down with Leslie Stahl. I love that they leaked this. It is hysterical because they're like, you're not going to be transparent. We're going to make you be transparent. Yeah. But listen to this woman's hostility. Leslie Stahl here. Listen to this.
I think it's one of the biggest scandals I've ever seen. And you don't cover it.
biggest.
You want to talk about.
Well, because it can't be verified.
You want to talk about insignificant things.
I'm telling you.
Of course it can be verified. Excuse me. They found the laptop. Leslie.
It can't be verified.
What can't be verified?
The laptop.
Why do you say that?
Because
even the family has
it. The FBI has it. They said they
have it. The family on the laptop. He's gone into hiding. For 5 days, he's gone into hiding.
He's preparing for your debate.
Holy it's taken him 5 days to prepare. I doubt it.
His PR? Is she Joe Biden's PR? How is that a reporter? Well, he's gone and he's preparing for the debate because he's so old and feeble. He can't do anything but focus on that. It's like that SpongeBob episode where he could only focus on breathing and fine dining. Jiminy, at one point in their interview, she goes, they were arguing and he says, the Obama administration spied on my campaign. And she said, there's no real evidence of that.
What?
Oh my gosh. And he goes, no, they spied on my campaign. She says, this is 60 Minutes. We can't put on things that we can't verify. Why? Because y'all learned your damn lesson with Dan Rather? Is that what it is? I mean,
we did that already. We can't get caught putting on things we can't verify that we can get caught for not verifying.
I mean, what she doesn't mention is Carter Page. She doesn't mention Manafort or Flynn or Halper or... I'm going to mess this up. Papadopoulos. I got that right. I mean, or the FBI briefing or the ICA briefing or any of this stuff, or actually like the documentation showing the FISA warrant, etc. So that's real. These are all real things. It did happen. It's not that they can't verify it. It's been verified. They just don't want to know about it. They don't want to report on it. They are so in. Their whole goal tonight, everybody, is to try to make Trump as mad as possible. That's their whole goal tonight. Is to make it as to make him as mad as possible. Cheryl Atkinson has a piece up where she's asking whether or not Secret Service hid documents about Hunter Biden from Congress. She writes, Secret Service records appear to provide verification of documents regarding conflicts of interests regarding former Vice President Joe Biden, his son Hunter, and other members of the Biden family. And that's according to leading Senate Republicans investigating the matter. They also have Secret Service Director James Murray in a letter to him. Johnson and Grassley outline how records they previously obtained from the Secret Service line up with and seem to provide verification of newly public emails about Hunter Biden's controversial dealings with and payments from foreign business people. Ooh, there's a lot here. I keep looking at these two. I mean, I'm looking at the texts that Mike Emanuel just went on a screenshot spree this morning. For instance, they practically spell it out as if anyone from May 19th, 2017, one of the business associates, Rob Walker, was telling Bob Alinsky about Hunter referring to Joe Biden as his chairman. And he goes, no, when he said his chairman, he was talking about his dad. Like there's any other question about it. And I mean, they get into one, for instance, this one is one of the worst, April 6th, 2017. Hunter Biden is asked what the Chinese are interested in, because Bob Alinsky was like, so what are they interested in? Is it just like, like technology or what? And Hunter Biden responds, quote, everything. The only thing I told him is that I would not do defense related technology and arms and anything that would give the Chinese a military advantage. Oh, look at you. You're so virtuous. And then Hunter Biden got real mad and got real sassy. I'm not going to say the cuss words in it, but when he sent a text to Tony Bobulinski, he wrote, quote, read the blinking documents, people. It's P-L-A-N-E. Plain blinking English. I'm not even making that up. That's actual. Look at Mike Emanuel's screenshot. It's crazy. Why in God's name would I give this marginal bully the keys to my family's only asset? Why should I cite S-I-G-H-T? He can't spell. Cite 20 different clauses in 5 different documents that say Tony owns and controls and manages parcels out and lords over me everything from my right to work to my right to an opinion. That's an actual, you don't, here, Kane, I got to show you this. He cannot spell to save his ever-loving life. someone's like, he went to Yale and he spells sight like S-I-G-H-T instead of S-I-T or plane, P-L-A-I-N. He messes up and confuses that with plane, like the plane in the sky. True thing. I mean, it is, it's crazy. It just keeps going on and on and on. When he says that his partners, the Chinese, are coming to be my partner to be partners with the Bidens. Jeez. It just keeps on going. We're, and you know, when I was watching the presser last night that the FBI was giving, and Christopher Wray spoke right after DNI John Ratcliffe about the Russian and Iranian interference and how all these media outlets were pushing it, I really wanted to ask Wray about the FBI's involvement in obtaining and analyzing the laptop. It's just very interesting. Why did they not say anything for so long? I'm curious. I'm curious about that. Doesn't have any impact on the veracity of what's actually there on the laptop. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But there were so many people that were, I'm amazed. There's a bunch of unanswered questions too about some of this stuff. Do you know that that New York Post is still locked out of their account? They're still locked out. The FBI said that they have the laptop, and the Biden campaign even said that they're not disputing the authenticity of the emails and the laptop and some of the and the photos. But yet the New York Post is still locked out of their Twitter account. Nothing was proven to be inauthentic. None of it. And the journalists who are out there are the ones demanding Twitter and Facebook shut down any discussion of this. And no one at Facebook, when they said that they were going to fact check stuff, no one revealed what they were doing to fact check the story that made them limit the exposure of the story or the sharing of the story. There's nothing that's been disputed by any news agency at all whatsoever. None. A friend of mine wrote over at Spectator, if a social media platform and a publisher are going to set a rule and establish guidelines and a paradigm for that rule, then said social media platform should release the results of their policies once implemented in the interest of user transparency. Neither Facebook nor Twitter has done this. I mean, they did say, oh, well, just blindly blaming the link was bad, but then yet you still can't. You're given a prompt. There's so many questions. And it doesn't help that they've hired all of these former Democrat staffers. Jim Jordan said five facts confirm the Biden emails. DNI Ratcliffe says it's not disinformation. The FBI says it's not disinformation. They've been confirmed by the Senate that they're authentic. The Bidens haven't denied it. And Hunter Biden signed the drop slip. Oh, and then Hunter's lawyer actually also called the repair shop asking for his laptop back. His attorney actually called the damn repair shop and asked for the laptop back. The State Department records. The State Department has recorded. They confirmed all the dates of travel. Secret Service confirmed the trip and emails. I mean...
Sounds verifiable.
Sounds hella verifiable. Just saying. You got Secret Service records showing that you were there during this time. I mean, you've got your lawyer calling the place saying, can I get his laptop back? Wow. It's pretty verified, Leslie Stahl. Just saying. Now, you can ask how it got into Rudy Giuliani's hands all you want to, but... You can't say that it's not verifiable because it is. Oh, and then, by the way, there were more independent emails not on that laptop that apparently also verify this that haven't been made public yet. Oh, my gosh. Oh, but yeah, I mean, the fact that Biden's lawyers sent they called and then they emailed. So there's an email of Biden's his lawyers asking for this back. How that's verifiable.
Yep.
Ask your media why they're not covering this. You know, that free press. They lose their mind when Trump goes fake press. You're attacking us. How dare you attack us? We're going to sit here and put out this Iranian propaganda. I mean, that's what they do. Yep. We're going to put out this Russian disinformation and hurt you. How dare you say this? That's what they do. It just, I think they don't care. Right? I just get the impression that they just don't care anymore. They don't care, so it doesn't matter. They're going to do whatever. Interesting. Twitter's corporate political action committee donated its remaining funds to charity and shut down. Damn. Like yesterday. Actually, the day before yesterday. That's pretty hardcore. But nothing to see here, guys. Nothing to see. There, and apparently there's even more going to come out. In the meantime, Amy Coney Barrett will be confirmed. I know that they were taking votes to get that from committee to the floor of the Senate. Mitch McConnell's expected to file cloture to limit filibustering. And, I mean, I think it could be happening by Monday, I think. But we are so close. And then looking at the polling, the reason that you had Barack Obama out in Pennsylvania is because Pennsylvania is not certain for Joe Biden. They need Pennsylvania, and yet Trump has really gotten very close to Biden in Pennsylvania and in a number of states. I still don't necessarily trust that the polling is as close as they say it is. There are a lot of different variables, even from enthusiasm for Biden as opposed to Hillary. They're just people who like Biden more than they liked Hillary, and that makes it easier for them to vote Democrat. But it's going to be close. And I think Trump can pull this out. He would have to be so awful in tonight's debate and come off as such a jackwagon and so mean and harsh, which, I mean, he has the advantage, and everyone's trying to gaslight you and him really into thinking that we don't. But the debate tonight is just for those people who are wavering, I think, to throw their full support behind a candidate. That's all the debate is tonight. We're not going to learn anything new. They're not going to allow any questions about this stuff that we've been talking about all show. You do need to get people out to vote, though. You know, the one thing that hurts Republicans is Republicans not getting out to vote every time. It's not that there's more Democrats. It's that Republicans don't get out and vote as reliably, as consistently as Democrats do. That's fact.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
DanaLash.com. It's not even the right URL. DanaLash.com is the website URL that you need to go to. DanaRadio.com. No, it doesn't. DanaLash.com is, don't confuse people, DanaLash.com is where you need to go to. And make sure that you sign up for the newsletter that's up there. And that's the way to participate in the debate discussion that we will have live for tonight. How do you think it's going to go, Kane? The debate tonight. What are you waiting for?
Well, I'm waiting for how the mic muting thing's going to happen, because I'm going to watch for that.
Are you even clear as to how that's going to work?
Is it just for the
2-minute answer, and then after that, is it anything goes?
I guess. I'm not really sure, but God forbid a debate breakout during the debate.
Wait, what'd you guys think this was, a debate?
Wait for that to happen.
Yeah, I don't even know exactly how that's supposed to work. Like, it's only used when they're answering a question that the moderator asks,
yeah,
and then they can...
no idea, but I'm sure it's going to be used nefariously in some way.
Jeez, we're totally going to make fun of this tomorrow. Yeah, we're going to make fun of this so bad tomorrow. All right, today in stupidity, before run you out of time.
Don Lemon described Joe Biden as Mr. Rogers. And then he described him as something else.
Joe Biden is not Hillary Clinton. Joe Biden is pretty much universally liked. Biden is like a warm sweater. And I know that, you know, Republicans or...
he's a warm sweater.
Trump supporters will say that.
I don't think of Joe as a warm sweater. I don't think of Joe as warm in any way.
No, honestly. A warm sweater. Not
doesn't
really
warm
sure that that's
me,
the way.
Nor is he warm. So.
Oh, my gosh. There
media,
you go.
That media mm-hmm. water carrying. It's all fun.
Yep. Folks, that does it for us for today. DanaLash.com. And tomorrow we are going to recap probably I think we're all going to watch it. I don't know if everybody else is. I don't know what the ratings for it are going to be like, but I would say one of the most hotly anticipated debates. This is the final debate before
the
election.
How's foreign policy going to get worked into something they've committed to?
They've stricken it from completely.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be another thing to look for.
It's going to be it's Joe Biden just has to not do anything dumb. So basically, that's going to be endangered anytime he's allowed to just speak for any length of time. Folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Show.